Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
Boom! This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And welcome back to the show, all the fantastic listeners of the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley, June 22nd, 2015. Another amazing week is about to begin for you. Do you believe that? Do you receive that message that your greatest days haven't even happened yet? Hey, I got an interview for you. It's a two-part interview with a gentleman I met at a live event last month in Los Angeles. His name is Andre Minkoff, and he runs the Trademark Factory. Now, whether you own a business or not, I'm sure you have a thought, a message, something that's been really brewing inside. I mean, heck, it's what we talk about all the time on the Everyday Saturday show is, what's your message? What's your brand? What's this unique thing that you're going to get out there? For me, I never thought I had anything until Every Day is Saturday, you know, came out from my daughter Madeline to me and all around the world now. And having that trademark, it's interesting. I'm going to talk to Andre all about trademarks. Actually, we have some great conversation throughout the course of this two-part interview because he was living in Russia, and he was an attorney there, and then he brought his practice over here to North America, and now he helps businesses take something that's just so, it appears to be just so many layers to it and so clunky and hard to do, and he makes it very, very simple. And I think you'll be very surprised. This is a really interesting interview. I think you're going to be really surprised at how anybody, I mean, from anybody living anywhere in the world should really consider trademarking their thoughts, because it's not the big business like the Coca-Colas of the world that we use an example in this interview that are at risk, because they have all the attorneys and all the different people that can actually get this stuff done. It's the small person, you, me, one, two-man operations, maybe 100 people operations that really should be trademarking your intellectual property. Check this out. It's a really fascinating interview. Part one, my interview with Andre Minkoff from Trademark Factory. Here you go.
Hey everyone, Sam Crowley, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday Show. Got the interview. We have an interview today. We don't often have interviews, but whenever I find someone that I find interesting and what they do interesting, and it is the a good fit for our audience in the entrepreneurial niche, I'm going to bring them on the show. So I have Andre Minkoff, and you probably don't know Andre. I didn't even know Andre until a month ago. We met in L.A. We shared the stage at an event there, and he was talking all about trademarks. So I found it very interesting. I think it's going to be pretty enlightening for the audience as well. So before we go any further, Andre, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me over. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, and one other thing, Andre, let's just get it right out in the open. You're Russian, right? I mean, we got to deal with this whole Russian accent for the next, you know, however long we chat here.
Yes, I am originally from Russia. I was a lawyer there for many years, and then I moved to Canada 8 years ago and got my lawyer license. Was a lawyer here for 4 years, and actually I'm about to drop my lawyer license because I realized that in order for me to do more good for clients who need their trademarks registered, I should go way out of my comfort zone and do this without being restricted by all the rules, or all the archaic rules that lawyers are restricted by. So we're actually just switched our name yesterday from Minkoff Law Corporation to Trademark Factory, and that's what we are now, and I'm dropping my license in a week. So
that's amazing, man. You know, it's funny. I've been kidding you a lot about the Russian and the Russian accent. I actually told you that, you know, you should use that really heavy, thick accent with the whole lawyer gig to just get out and scare the hell out of everybody. But we won't go there, man. We have limited time.
Well, why not? Actually, the first thing I did when I became a lawyer in Canada, I shot a video with me, you know, holding guns and saying, "At Minkoff Law Corporation, we murder your legal problems." Right.
Oh, wow.
And And Law Society went after me, said I can't advertise my services like this, even if everybody understands it's a joke. So I'm actually thinking about reviving that video and, you know, at Trademark Factory, we murder your trademarking problems.
So you can be more creative now. You know, it's funny. I find most attorneys boring, but I got to give you credit. You have a personality. So congratulations.
Thank you.
So, let's dive into it, okay? You and I met, we're standing there in L.A., we're chatting, we're just getting to know each other, and you're looking at me sideways, who's this loud, American, obnoxious guy just yelling a bunch of stuff? And then I wanted to find out what you did, and because it wasn't all about me, Andre, okay? I wanted to say, what's this guy do? I've never met him before. And I know a lot of the speakers at these events, and you were up there educating the audience about the value of trademarks and why we need them. So why don't you kind of ground us? Because I was under the assumption that, hey, man, unless you're like a Coca-Cola or a Donald Trump or American Airlines or somebody like that, you don't need a trademark. That's silly for just the mom-and-pop entrepreneur. But, boy, you really you turned me around on that. So before we dive too far into that, let me back up. What's a trademark, and why do we need them?
Okay. So you asked several questions, and I'll try to kind of answer them all. So a trademark is essentially anything that allows you to help your customers tell your stuff apart from the same stuff that your competitors offer or may offer if you don't have competitors today. So trademarks are not about protecting the actual stuff. They're about protecting that what allows your customer to go to the store, see your product next to some other product on the shelf, or if it's a service, you know, see two websites together and see the difference between them. And not in the product or service itself, but through the names, logos, taglines, colors, smells, anything really that makes you different from somebody else. And let me bring you back a little bit to what you said about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola was not always a company whose brand is valued at $80 billion. They actually trademarked their brand in 1892, and I use the story all the time because I think it's so powerful. So they trademarked their brand literally a couple of days after they incorporated the business, and this was also the year when they were selling 9 drinks a day. I call this a freaking lemonade stand with a dream. That's what they were, right? And they knew that if this idea was to take off and become a business, a trademark would be one of their most valuable assets. And again, today, just the brand itself, not their manufacturing facilities, not their distribution chains, none of that, just the brand itself is worth $80 billion. All right, so I understand that most listeners are not going to build a brand that big and that successful, but that's not the point, because trademarks, like all other intellectual property laws, are essentially built to protect the little guy, not to protect the big guy. Because big guys have all the advertising money and all the litigation money they need to drown their competition. Right? It's the little guys that need something, some ammunition, to at least have a chance to go in the battle with the bigger guys who may want to steal their stuff.
That's interesting, because I would have thought it was the opposite. Like, I don't have anything. I'm not saying me, Sam Crowley. I'm just saying Mr. and Mrs. Entrepreneur. I'm just starting. Let's just use online, because a lot of the people listening to the show have aspirations, if they're not already, of selling their product, their service, their intellectual property, whatever it is, online. So I would think if I'm just getting started, Andre, all I have is I got a WordPress blog, I've got a podcast, and I've got a YouTube channel, and I haven't sold anything yet. Why would I even? I mean, I'm trying to save money. I don't want to add more money to my startup cost. Why would I want to protect something that's not really worth anything?
What's the first thing you say to your kid who's learning how to ride a bike? You tell them you have to look ahead. You can't look at your feet when you're riding a bike, because that's how you fall, right?
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
And same thing with building a successful business. You can't build a successful business if all you're doing is looking at your day-to-day operations. You have to have a goal. You have to know where you're going with that. And trademarking decisions are very similar in the sense that you can't make those decisions whether you need a trademark when you're just starting a business. The idea is, would the trademark have value if I have built the business to be as successful as I want it to be? And granted, there are businesses where a trademark really doesn't matter all that much. If you are a corner grocery store and people go and buy from you simply because you're there, it doesn't matter, right? The trademark is of little value. Or if your trademark is you personally, so the moment you go out of business or stop providing the service, there is no value to the brand. Again, no point in trademarking that. So, for example, I've never trademarked Minkoff Law Corporation because when I'm not providing the service, there's no value to the brand. But I have trademarked Trademark Factory, right? So you make these decisions based on your idea, your vision for what will my business be, let's say, 5 years down the road when I finally figured out a way to attract enough customers to buy from me, when I'm known enough, and when I may even become a target of somebody who wants to buy my business as a whole, right? Would then trademark have value? And essentially, I typically suggest that business owners who are considering whether trademarks is a good trademark is a good thing for them to do, so that they ask themselves three questions. One is assuming that you've built the business where you want it to be. Let's say you get a letter from a lawyer that says, "Dear Mr. Smith, I act for ABCDE Inc. And my client has recently found out that you are using their trademark unlawfully. And they're referring to the trademark that you thought was yours, right? And they're demanding that you immediately stop using that trademark and pay them some money." Well, obviously, that would be a problem for most of us, but would that be enough of a problem that you would consider going to court to fight over your brand? If your answer is yes, it's much cheaper to trademark it today when nobody knows about you than having to have lawyers prove that you were there first. There's nothing more expensive in a courtroom than having to prove something, right? Yeah. The second question you ask is, again, when your business is up there, where you want it to be, would it be worth taking it to court if you saw a competitor use your brand to advertise their stuff, all right? And again, for some it's a problem, for some it isn't. But if it is, again, a lot cheaper to win that battle and probably even avoid that battle if you have taken steps to protect your brand early. And third is there any value to the brand when you're not a part of it anymore? Would somebody give you an extra penny if you decided to sell the business, franchise the business, or license it out? So, and it doesn't have to be yes for all three. If it's a yes to at least one of those, it's really a good idea to do it, especially since it's not that much of an expense. I mean, it is an expense compared to registering domain names, but you probably spend more on coffee a year. And a trademark is good for 10 years in the U.S. and actually most of the countries, and you can renew it forever for almost next to nothing. Actually, trademarks is the only area of intellectual property that you can renew forever.
Wow, so. That's fascinating. So now here comes the scary part. I want to move forward step one with my trademark, and I'm just looking at a big black hole where I send 8 pallets of paperwork to, and I wait for 10 years to get a response back. I mean, we're talking about the U.S. government. For most things, what we're talking about right now is our U.S. and probably Canadian, North American, I would imagine. You could probably talk more to that, but what's the next step? Okay, you've got me sold on the fact that I need a trademark. I want a trademark. I think I fall into the category you just described, one of those three. What's the next step?
Well, the next step is to figure out if you have something trademarkable. And not everything that you think is a trademark can be trademarked. Sometimes there are things that you don't think can be trademarked. They can be. So we often get questions like, how come does McDonald's own I'm loving it? Like, it's a simple phrase. There is nothing unique about it. How come they've trademarked that slogan? The point is that trademarks don't give you monopoly of the brand itself. They give you the monopoly over the mental link between the brand and the particular goods and services that you're selling. So just because McDonald's owns I'm loving it doesn't mean that some gynecologist can't register the same trademark for their services. Right? So the first step really is to have somebody tell you, somebody who understands how trademarks work, whether your brand is trademarkable. And there are several automatic online searches that give you that information right away. The problem with them is that they only look for identical trademarks. So one of the examples we always use, so one of the bigger online trademark filing websites that allows you to file trademarks at next to nothing, and then if you were to search Microsoft Software Solutions, it would tell you that they think the trademark is registrable. But guess how long it would be before you get in, you're going to get a letter from Microsoft? Not very long.
How long?
Yeah, I think they're probably doing their weekly monitoring, and I would probably give you a month. When I started Trademark Factory, I wanted to create a completely different experience that would not be like typical law firms or existing online websites. So what I wanted to do is offer the scope of services that any big law firm that specializes in trademarks offers to their clients with the simplicity of the experience that they get from online websites. And that's how Trademark Factory was born, because to me, trademarks are binary. You either get them or you don't. So none of my clients care how much time we'd put in getting their trademark done. All they care about is did we get it or we didn't. So the process that I came up with is we do the search manually, so there's a live person doing the search who understands what they're doing to make sure that we're not only noticing identical trademarks to what you came up with, but also trademarks that are similar, and would evaluate the risk of those similar trademarks posing a problem to registrability of your brand. And unlike pretty much everybody else on the market, we don't charge for this. So we do the search for free, and then we're going to call you and have a 30-minute consultation over the phone when we're going to walk you through our findings. Again, all of that in plain English. Our goal is not to overwhelm you with our brilliance. Our goal is to help you decide whether trademarking is something you should be doing.
So help us out. First of all, I have a question. Just be prepared to answer this one. Do you do business outside of North America? That's my question after I give people an opportunity to connect with you. You're trademarkfactory.ca. Is that correct? Trademarkfactory.ca?
Well, we're both .ca and .com, and it's actually a story in and of itself how we got .com, because we got .com because we were able to register Trademark Factory as a trademark in both Canada and U.S. That's really what allowed me to get the .com domain name that was taken prior to me coming up with the name. Right? It wasn't in use, just somebody was sitting on it. I got .ca and I was running with it, but then I realized that the business has exploded and we have having a ton of customers outside of Canada, so I really wanted the .com one, so we figured out a way to leverage our trademarks to get the domain name. So now it's both .com and .ca. I'm still trying to get a use that we have both. But to answer your question in terms of where we can do trademarks, we do trademarks in Canada. We do trademarks in the U.S. directly. To the extent that the work needs to be signed off by a licensed U.S. attorney, we have that. We do have associates around the globe who help us file trademarks in European Union, in Latin America, in pretty much any country of the world. We have somebody who can get this done. But obviously, the vast majority of the business comes from the States and Canada.
Okay. But if somebody lived in Australia and they wanted to use you to move forward with the trademark process, you'd be able to help them out?
Yeah. And we can help businesses in U.S. or Canada register in U.S. or EU. So it really doesn't matter where you are. What matters is where your market is. So your trademarks are per country. So what you want to do is protect yourself in the countries where you have enough of a market where your brand matters.
Okay, got it. So you can get a hold of Andre and his entire crew there at trademarkfactory.com. You just say it that way, trademarkfactory.com, they can get you there.
Yep.
Okay. So help me out also. What's the difference? I'm familiar with the term trademark. I'm also mildly familiar with the term trade name. What's the difference between a trademark and a trade name?
Okay, so trade name is your company name. A trademark is something that identifies your products or your services. So you can be an individual who owns a trademark, or you can be a numbered company, or you can be any company. Well, think about Procter & Gamble, right? They have thousands of trademarks. So their trade name is Procter & Gamble, but all the trademarks brands that they put on the market, they're trademarks, right? So they don't have to set up a new company for every single brand, right? They just own the whole thing and they own trademarks to it. So when you register a company, when you incorporate a company, you don't really yet have a trademark. And most incorporations are statewide or province-wide in Canada. So just because you came up with a clever name and you incorporated your business using that name doesn't mean that somebody in the other state or another province can't use that same name for their business, whereas trademarks, they're federal, right? So once you get your trademark registered or even apply for a trademark, you get protection all across the country, which is extremely important for businesses that it takes them some time to grow into those other geographical regions, right? So trademark is protected federally regardless of whether somebody knows about you there or not. That's the beauty of it. With unregistered trademarks, so in both Canada and U.S., there is some limited protection to unregistered trademarks, but you're protected only to the extent that enough people know you under that brand in that particular geographical region. So if you're a restaurant in Ohio, right, you may get protection, you know, maybe statewide, more likely just citywide. But
right.
Anybody could legally use that same name for a restaurant in California. If you do have a trademark, then you can use that trademark to go after anybody in the U.S., even in places where nobody has ever heard of you and nobody would ever hear of you. That's what that one piece of paper allows you to just send those demand letters right and left. And again, that goes back to intellectual property being designed to protect the little guy, right? Because that's how you stop people without spending too much money.
Yeah, because look, if you were going to sell your business at some point in time and it was not trademarked, if you didn't have a trademark in your business, that would make your business probably less valuable, meaning you probably wouldn't be able to get as much money if you could if you did have a trademark. And correct me if I'm wrong, because if I'm a buyer looking to buy a business and it's not protected and somebody else can come on in and just start using my slogan, my name, my trade, whatever it is that's associated with the brand, doesn't that make your business less valuable in the eyes of a potential buyer should you decide that maybe you want to sell your business?
Well, that depends on the trademark. Let's say you had a name, Sam Crowley Podcast, right? If you decided to sell the business, that'd be questionable value to the brand, right, when you're not a part of it.
Right.
But the name you came up with really has nothing to do with you, right? So the name transcends, your brand transcends you personally, and those brands do have a ton of value, right?
So
assuming that they're...
If I wanted to sell every day is Saturday tomorrow and I didn't have a trademark, it wouldn't be worth as much as if I did, right?
Man, that seems like a really good place to leave off part one. We're going to pick that question back up with Andre. Fascinating stuff, and it's a really cool interview. I'm happy we got together to do this. We're going to pick up this question and more for you on the Everyday Saturday podcast. Part two coming right up.
Thank you for listening to the Everyday is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Everyday is Saturday.